Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come, Father, seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us as we open up your word this evening, Father, to help us to receive the depth and the truth of this your word so that we can grow strong, Father, in faith and stronger in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, Father, we do know that in order to make heaven our home, we are to walk in Jesus, Jesus in us, and we are to walk in the Spirit and the Spirit in us. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening. Give us the guidance that we need. And once again, Father, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. I'm not going to be reading scripture this evening because Dennis read it all this morning. You see, we're going to be dealing with a lot of this same scripture because Dennis mainly read and then he gave you some of his opinions about some things. But I'm going back and start breaking this down. I told you all last Thursday when I began this that it was going to take three or more services to get through this one sermon because it is the longest sermon recorded in the Bible and Jesus was the one that preached it. So we're dealing with all truth here and what's expected of you and I in order for us to make heaven our home. But you see, God is good about giving us witness to things. Dennis wasn't here when I started this, but God gave him the scripture that I would be using over the next two or three services. And he stood and read all three chapters this morning. Because this one sermon covers Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Now, he covered back here this morning, he covered the first 12 when he read to you the blessed, or what we call the Beatitudes, that God has given man. But you see, this sermon covers a whole lot more. And I'm going to be picking up actually here at verse 13. But there is one thing I want you to understand and know. You see, the Lord told us here in this Sermon on the Mount that he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. What did he really mean by fulfilling the law? The law dealt with things on the outside, mainly the things that the flesh would do. But Jesus, in his coming, he was going to be establishing the church in the church age, which was going to be dealing with the spiritual part of mankind and moving things from the outside to the inside of man. That's why we needed the Holy Spirit that he sent back on the day of Pentecost. Now here's some of the things that the law said, that the law stood for. No murder. We wasn't to murder. No adultery. Man wasn't to commit adultery. No divorce. Man not supposed to commit divorce. No oath taking. No retaliation. In other words, somebody does something to you, you ain't supposed to sit around and study how you can get even with them. No hatred for your enemy. And see, under the law, tradition allowed you to have that. But when Jesus came and moved everything inside, now we can no longer do those things under the law, because we're under the Spirit, and we're to start where we have no anger. So with no anger, there's no murder. We don't get mad at somebody and kill them. Where the law said no adultery, the Spirit says no lust. Because you see, as Dennis was talking this morning, you can commit adultery by just looking at a woman. If you look at her and you've got lust in your heart, you look at one of these women out here walking the street that's half-dressed, and you put her in your bed with you, you've committed adultery with her already. And you ain't touched her, probably ain't spoke to her, but you've already committed adultery because you've done it in your heart. You see, this is what I'm talking about. When we get into things like this, why did I teach like I do? By breaking it down verse by verse, because there is so much deeper meaning than just what a few words has got to say, because it's the setting that they're also in. Now, where it says no divorce, under the Spirit, the law says no divorce, under the Spirit, we are to continue a commitment. Instead of a man and woman getting out here and getting mad and upset with each other and getting divorced, they're supposed to sit down and work things out and stay together. But today we have more divorce than we have commitment. No oath taking under the law. The Spirit tells us, speak the truth. Always speak truth. That way you're not taking an oath. Where the law says no retaliation, the Spirit tells you and I, forgiveness. Instead of trying to figure out how to get even with somebody that's done something to you, we forgive them. And we truly do forgive them. And we pray for them. And that has to be done also with sincerity. We have to mean that prayer when we pray for them. Lord, help that person. I want to see that person to turn from their evil ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can have eternal life with Jesus. Just saying the words is not enough. You've got to mean that from the heart, or you've done no good. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, he ended up with the law down here saying hatred for your enemy. But the Spirit tells you and I, love for your enemy.
Amen.
You've got to love your enemy.
Amen.
That is the fulfilling of the law. No anger, no lust, commitment, speak the truth, forgiveness, and love your enemy is what helps to fulfill the law. Because our lives, the moment that we meet the Lord Jesus Christ and we ask him into our lives and he forgives our sins and we become a believer, our life changes. Now, all the change ain't been accomplished yet, most of the time. Once in a while, it'll happen, someone will get everything all at one time, but most usually it takes a little while. Because we've been so mistaught, especially over the past 60 years, our churches has been misteaching this scripture. Now, as we get into our scripture for this evening, but I wanted to share you what he was talking about in fulfilling the law, what it really means. But a lot of people didn't understand that, that you're taking things from the outside and it has to be moved inside. And the way you do that, that's what I've just gave you. Now, starting here with verse 13 of chapter 5. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out to be trodden under foot of men. Now, You know, that statement that you are the salt of the earth, again, the Lord is letting you and I know that this is telling us that only the genuinely born again, only those that are truly born again children of God is salt. Because what is salt good for? Why do we use salt? So why would Jesus be using that to give you and I a point? You know, that indicates, actually salt does, it adds flavoring. It's also a preservative. It'll melt coldness. It'll help heal wounds. And thus, it makes it perfect for you and I, and a good description of the believer and how we are to react in our relationship to the world in which we now live. Unless I am walking in this word, filled with this word, filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am actually living it, then I've lost my saltiness and I am of no use. And I'm not going to be able to make heaven my home. Because I am to be to the world out here and the people of the world, I'm to be there as a help. I am to share God's gospel, His gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with the world. That's the flavor. And it's through sharing that word that it becomes a preservative for your life throughout eternity. That's a whole lot to come out of that little verse, ain't it? But it's all there. Because you see, that brings you and I into what our real relationship with the world and the people of mankind should really be, and how we should be behaving ourselves and acting. Most of us don't. We got to have that great big I and little bitty me in there. No. We need to be living the Lord Jesus Christ. That when people see you and I, they hear us talking, they should see and hear the Lord Jesus Christ talking and see Him. Because you see, once we are truly born again, we have actually become sons and daughters of God, just as Jesus is His son. You are an heir with Jesus. That's God's word, that you are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can have the exact same things He had. That's why He tells you and I, He says, all that believe in Me, not part, not just your preachers, your deacons and your elders of the church, all that believe in me. These things I do, they can do, and greater than these will they do. He said, because I go back to the Father. His work is still to go on here on this earth. But in order for that to be done, he has to work through mankind. He's going to use some person to reach someone else. That's why the church was established. But look how it's let them down. Don't see the gifts anymore at work. Most of them don't even believe in them working anymore. Most of them will tell you they don't. Most of your churches today will tell you, oh, the gifts of the Spirit don't work anymore. They all died when the apostles died. No, it just got started then. It just got started on the day of Pentecost when the Lord went back to heaven to sit on the right hand of Almighty God the Father. And he sent the Holy Spirit back to mankind. That's when it began. Now, we're going to move in here now to just a little bit different subject, not much, but a little bit. Because now here in verse 14, he's telling you and I, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You've actually got two little sentences there. But those two little sentences that's telling us that we are the light of the world is also describing our essential mission as a child of God, as a Christian, to the world. We are to be the light unto this world. And to be that light means, just as the salt did, that we are to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with those around about us. It is a condition of salt, actually, and we are to meet the world's needs, and we have a mission,
amen,
of light, to light this world. And that is sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the light. Our light is to clearly shine into the darkness of human depravity. Think about it. All the evil that's out here in this world, these that are walking in darkness, we are to bring the gospel to them, which is the light. And let me tell you something. When you walk filled with the light of God, there ain't no darkness that can overtake you. They'll ask me, a lot of times people ask me, you talk about divine healing. How can you walk in divine healing? By walking without darkness. If you've got darkness in you, that means you've got some sin somewhere. And what little sin, it may be the smallest sin going. But whatever little crack you've left open, Satan's going to walk through it. And we've got to keep that shut. You can take this room here, close it all off. Close everything in here. Turn all the lights off, and what do you got? You got total darkness. You can take one little match,
strike that match, and most of the darkness from that one little bitty light is almost gone.
That's what we're to be in this world. We're to be that match. And to bring about the light. Now, he goes on here in 15, he says, neither do men light the candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, we're not to hide anything when it comes to the gospel of God's word. That's why you hear me preach so hard against leaving things out of God's word, because they're afraid it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. That young lady that comes into my church with a micro mini skirt on and a top that's cut almost to the waist, I can't say nothing to her because I hurt her feelings. Have I done her right? Not according to the gospel, I haven't. Because unless somebody tells her she's dressed wrong, she won't know she's dressed wrong, and she won't know how to get right with God. You're out here, you're a divorced person, and you're thinking about getting remarried.
What happens? Well, I can't preach against that now, because if I do, they'll just get mad and they'll leave the church.
So I don't preach on that no more.
I love to go ahead and get remarried and go to hell because they're living in adultery.
Because I wouldn't tell them no. They wasn't supposed to do it. Not this man. This man ain't going to do it. No. And I've got a lot of them. I've got a lot of them know like what I preach. But I pray for them. And I pray from the heart. And I really mean, Lord, help them to understand. Give them light to where they'll change their life and they can become a light unto the world. Now, we're going to be moving in here now to the law. Christ's teaching on the law here in verse 17. And we touched upon most of this, but I'm going to read it to you because I have already explained most of this to you. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Remember at the beginning me telling you about it? For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I showed you the difference of the law and of the spirit. Yes, and in the days and time, even while Jesus was walking upon this earth, They were still under the law. His preaching, this Sermon on the Mount, was getting ready, getting people ready for what was coming, which was the church age. He's getting them ready for that. And he's letting them know, you've got to quit this stuff that you're doing outwardly, and you've got to start accepting things with the heart and from the spirit. And stop all this outward wrongdoing you're doing, which is exactly what they were doing. They was committing murder. And look what we've been doing. We are now standing here in the country. It's 62 million babies murdered. Think about it. Then we wonder why we're in the mess we're in. Killing our own unborn. Innocent. It don't matter why that woman got pregnant. That child is innocent. And that child was put there by God. And only he has the right to take its life. You and I don't. But it's being done every day. And now, most all of our churches are accepting pastors into the church that's living in adultery. Still living in adultery and pastoring a church. God don't work through that man. And look at them that's accepting the women in the church as pastors. Nowhere in this Bible can you show me where it said that woman could be a pastor. But I can sure show you where it says she can't be. Oh, but you know, they tell me, oh, pastor, you're wrong. No. If I'm wrong, God's wrong, because it's his word, not mine. He's the one who said, no, he didn't call her to teach nor use authority over man. He's also the one that tells us in his word that she's to be silent in the church. That it's a shame for her to speak. Don't sound to me like she can pastor. Now, he spoke a little bit this morning on the next few verses. But I am going to read through them, 21 through 26. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has an ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thy adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the ulcer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. You know, we find here that we're not to be cursing our brothers. We're not to look down on them. We're not to be calling them names. But how many, and if you're like me, you can't remember how many. You couldn't count them if you did. How many times you've heard somebody call somebody a fool? Calling somebody a fool. And what did the word say about that? Shall be in danger of hell fire. That's as bad to call somebody a fool as it was to commit murder. You're both going to be looking at hell fire. If you don't get forgiven for it. But see, you can be forgiven for those things and straighten your life out. But you've got to leave them. You can't keep doing them over and over and over and be forgiven. Once you go and you take it to the Lord, you walk away from it. You leave it there. And if you've got something against somebody, go and talk to them. You can apologize to them. And whatever they've done, forgive them. Pray for them. Pray with them if they'll pray with you. If they won't, pray for them. And do it from the heart. Then give your gift to God. And that's what he's telling you right there to do. Now, we're going to get into this adultery just a little bit. You see, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's covered a whole lot of things for us. Now, 27, you have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. We were talking about that a little earlier. Looking on her. You see, it's what is in your heart. Whether that heart's got lust in it or not, whether you're actually going to be committing adultery. You know, it took me a while. Oh, I was a young man. I like to see those gals running around showing a whole lot more than really what they should have been showing. And I'd say, oh, don't she look good? Don't she look good? Now, I see one, and you know, I'm being truthful. You know what the first thing pops in my mind is? She don't think nothing of herself. Or she'd cover up. There ain't no lust there no more. It's gone. But I say to you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commit adultery. And just as Brother Dennis said this morning, you see, when we divorce a woman, if they remarry and we remarry, that one sin has caused four more sins. Because now we're all, and the ones we marry, we brought in to adultery. So now, instead of just one committing, one or two committing adultery, we got four. all because of that one sin. Now, we're going to be coming out of that now, and we're going to be talking about oaths. Again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black, but let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. Comes of evil. You know, we have to be very, very careful about the things that we say and do. And about oath taking.
Amen.
And a lot of things that we do, we'll be asked to take an oath on it.
Be careful. Because you can get yourself into a lot of trouble.
Instead of taking an oath, just always speak the truth. And if you speak the truth, then you don't need to take an oath. That's why he said, let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. Yes and no. That's all you need. What I tell you is truth.
Yes. If I make up something, is that true? Probably no.
So we always want to speak the truth, especially to each other. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not to lie to each other. And that's also in God's word. Now, moving here to 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But you see, we can't hate our enemy, and we are to help those that are in need any way we can, and with whatever we have that we can help them with. We're not to turn them away. Unless they're just asking something we can't do. Now, a man walked up to me and told me, well, you know, I need to borrow $1,000.
Well, if I ain't got $1,000, I can't let him have it. But if I've got it, then I'm supposed to let him have it. I'm supposed to loan it to him.
You see, we are to be the children of Almighty God. And those that talk about us, tell lies and all on us, forget it. He tells us turn the other cheek. If they want to sue you, and they take you to court, and they take, as the word said, take you, go ahead and give them your cloak also. Give them more what they asked for. Because you see, the Lord's going to take care of things. In fact, there's scripture in here that also tells you that when you do these things, you're actually heaping coals on them because the Lord is the one that's going to get the revenge. See, that's not mine, your job. We are to love them, we are to pray for them, and let God deal with them. Only He can bring them about. We can share God's word, but we can't make people accept it. I can stand here and preach from now on. I can't make a one of you accept anything I say. I can pray you do. I can pray that you've listened and that you've accepted God's word, but I can't make you do it. But the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit can come in and talk to you, put it in your mind, and let you know He's telling you the truth. You better listen to Him. I can't do that, but He can. Now, we're going to get ready here in a minute and close out. We'll be closing out with verse 5. Chapter 5, and we've had chapter 5 twice today. Verse 43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. No, that's not God's way. But I say unto you, and this is Jesus talking, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That sure sounds a whole lot different than what we're seeing today, don't it? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? You see, sinners will love each other until they do something against them, and then they don't love them anymore. But see, you and I, we don't have that privilege. We are to love those that come against us. And if you salute your brother only, what do ye more than others do? Do not even the publicans so? Yep. Be ye therefore, there's that word the church hates. Church don't even want to hear that word. Be ye therefore perfect. Oh, ain't nobody perfect. No, not one. They always want to fall back on that verse. Because they want to pull that verse out from where it's at instead of leaving it. If they leave it in the setting that it's wrote in and read the rest of it and find out really what it's saying, they'll find out that they need this verse right here too. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, how can I be perfect like God? Come on, let that sink in for just a second.
can I be perfect like God is?
Can you be? Can mankind really be perfect as God is? Yes, he can. Because his word just told you he can. But how? How can that be? Because if you are a born-again child of God, you have God living in you. You're not living there anymore. He is living there. And he has all power. And he ain't going to put up with Satan at all.
Wow.
And he ain't going to put up with no sin. That's why we can. Because we have him living in us. And that's not the only place where you're going to find that either. Telling you to be perfect. You get back into 1 John, you're going to find it several times back there. Telling you to be perfect as he is perfect. That's a word that the church has been against preaching for ages. A long, long time. They've not wanted that preached. And yet, the Bible is full of it. And with that, we're going to close for this evening. God willing, come Thursday, we'll be moving into chapter 6. And we're going to get into some more powerful stuff in chapter 6. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word, that we can be supportive to each other, that we can learn more of your word, and that we, Father, can walk stronger, more upright, in your sight, not in man's way, but according to your will and your way. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray and ask that they would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, that's walked so far away, we pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to work together, that our churches will tear down these walls of denominationalism and all come together as one, and that being your church, and work together to remove those from office, Heavenly Father, that's against the church, against your people, and against the Lord Jesus Christ, and to replace them with those that will work for the church, for Jesus, and to work with us to help us put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch each one of them to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Amy. Amy's husband, Tom. Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob. For Terry Coates. For Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina. For the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg. For Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington. For Pastor Luke Bess, Church of God of Brandenburg, and for Pastor Randy Johnson. For the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. And Father, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, you know the need there, Father. We pray for them. We pray, Father, that things can be made straight. And that little full gospel church of God there at Ekron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and walk from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. For our friends in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Huran Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, for my wife's family, for my family, and for all families that will hear this message. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in these families, turning those that are walking in darkness from that darkness and guiding them to the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost and all will be able to make heaven their home. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo, and her mother, for Sue, for Palance Goodman, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft, and Father, for those that are here with me, Brother James, Sister B, Father, we all stand in need of the power and the healing hand of the Lord Jesus to touch us in our lives. And Father, we're asking all of this and giving thanks that you hear us, Father. And help us to accept the things that is that we need, because they've already been given. And we give his thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless. Remember now, come Sunday morning, we can all be together again and back into God's Word. So until then, good night.
Kick-a-boom, kick-a-boom, kick-a-boom.
Thank you, I love that verse.
Yeah,
I love that. And see, when we read things, we don't get all that. And that's why I used to teach, used to preach, like a lot of them preach, But it wasn't getting to the depth. God said, no, I didn't call you just to preach. I called you to teach. So he's one to change me and started having me break things down.
Thank you, God.
Hello and welcome to the Lighthouse Team Ministries radio program.
the Apostles' Doctrine here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Pastor Kenny Powers in here with Pastor KD Tony, and we meet every day at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. You can reach us by phone by calling 646-915-9559.